Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going back in time a bit to 2010.
Oh, yeah.
When ebooks were
just taking off.
Just starting to take off. And Amazon was the undisputed king of the market.
90%.
Something like 90%.
Yeah.
And then Apple comes along and says,
"We want a piece.
Hey, we want in on this action." But they weren't content to just like
compete.
Yeah. Just play it straight.
Yeah.
They wanted to shake things up.
Yeah.
And it sparked a legal battle that really changed antitrust law. So,
big time.
We're diving into United States v. Apple Inc. And figuring out why this case still matters. Like, for anyone working in tech law.
Pretty much.
Honestly, anyone who buys anything online.
I think what's so interesting about this case is it's not just like a simple David and Goliath story, right?
Right.
It gets into the nitty-gritty of how companies can and can't compete.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to pricing.
So, set the scene for us.
Okay.
2010, Amazon selling ebooks super cheap.
Yeah.
Sometimes at a loss.
Below cost.
Below cost. How did Apple even try to compete with that?
Well, instead of trying to like undercut them on price, they went straight to the source.
Yeah.
The six biggest book publishers.
Oh, wow.
Convinced them to adopt a new pricing model.
Okay.
Called the agency model.
The agency model.
So under this model, the publishers set the price.
Got it.
And Apple takes a 30% cut.
Okay. So on the surface, that sounds like
a pretty normal deal.
Yeah. Just a standard business deal. Right. But there was more to it.
Oh, yeah. There's always more to it.
Okay.
This is where it gets juicy.
All right. Already.
Apple included this clause in their contracts.
Uh-huh.
Most favored nation clause.
Okay.
MFN.
MFN.
Got it. So that means that the publishers couldn't offer lower prices on other platforms.
Like Amazon.
Like Amazon.
Hold on. So if publishers couldn't offer lower prices on Amazon,
yeah,
wouldn't that force Amazon to raise their prices?
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
That was Apple's whole game plan.
So they used this MFN to pressure Amazon to raise prices.
To match Apple's prices.
Okay, so some people might say that actually increased competition.
Right. It levels the playing field.
Right.
But the court...
Not so much.
Not so much. They saw this as...
Price fixing.
Illegal price fixing.
But Apple was just trying to compete, right? Like, how did the court explain that this was illegal?
This is where the idea of a hub and spoke conspiracy comes in.
Okay.
Apple was the hub.
Got it.
They weren't directly colluding with Amazon on prices.
Yep.
But they were facilitating an agreement among the publishers.
The spokes.
The spokes, right? To raise ebook prices everywhere.
And that's a
big no-no.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
And antitrust.
So it's not just about the outcome.
Right.
It's about how you get there.
The method.
Yeah, and the court said that Apple's method crossed the line.
Definitely crossed the line. They said this was a per se violation of the Sherman Act.
Okay, per se.
Per se. It's like a hard and fast rule. Like, it doesn't matter what your intentions were. Certain actions are just inherently anti-competitive.
Okay.
Like price fixing.
So in this case, it was the agreement between the publishers.
Right.
Facilitated by Apple.
Facilitated by Apple.
To raise prices.
That's what did them in.
Okay. But there was a dissenting opinion in this case, right?
Yeah.
One of the judges actually thought.
Yeah. One judge thought Apple was actually maybe doing something good.
Okay. So what was his reasoning?
Judge Jacobs argued that even though prices went up, Apple's entry into the market was good overall because it broke Amazon's monopoly.
Okay.
Amazon went from 90% market share down to 60.
Wow, that's a huge drop.
Yeah, he thought the focus should be on the outcome.
A more competition.
More competition rather than the method.
Okay, so we've got this tension then.
Big tension.
Between wanting to prevent monopolies.
Yeah.
But also prevent potentially harmful business practices.
Right.
It's a tough line.
Yeah, Judge Jacobs thought they should have used a different standard.
Okay.
The rule of reason.
Rule of reason.
Yeah. Which means you weigh the harms and the benefits.
Okay.
He thought the benefits of increased competition.
Even with the higher prices.
Even with higher prices.
Okay.
Outweighed the potential harm.
Right.
But the majority disagreed. This decision had a huge impact.
Yeah, this case sent shockwaves through the tech world.
Big time.
So it really highlights how complex antitrust law can be.
It's very nuanced.
Yeah, it's not always black and white.
It's a lot of gray area.
And there are oft really strong arguments on both sides.
No, for sure. And this is really relevant today.
How so?
Because we're seeing similar battles play out in other digital markets.
Give me some examples.
Like app stores.
Okay.
Music streaming services.
Yeah.
Online marketplaces.
Yeah.
I mean, are companies using these same tactics?
To manipulate competition.
Exactly.
Hmm. That's a great question.
And it's one we're going to keep digging into.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
So there were actually some pretty big consequences for Apple after the court's decision.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, first of all, they slapped Apple with a pretty hefty injunction.
Injunction. Okay.
And on top of that, they even appointed a compliance monitor.
A compliance monitor? What's that?
Yeah, basically like...
Sounds intense.
It is. They had someone keeping a close eye on Apple's business dealings.
So like they had somebody looking over their shoulder every time they made a deal?
Well, not exactly micromanaging everything, but making sure they were implementing antitrust policies and procedures.
Oh, so like an independent auditor.
Yeah, basically for their business practices, making sure they were playing by the rules.
Makes sense after such a big antitrust violation.
Right. It's like, okay, you messed up. Now we're going to make sure you learn your lesson.
Right.
The injunction was really specific, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't about banning the agency model outright.
Okay.
It was about preventing Apple from colluding with publishers.
So, like, no more messing with ebook prices.
Exactly.
So the agency model itself isn't necessarily bad.
Right.
It's how it's used.
It's a tool, right? Like a hammer.
Yeah, you can build a house with a hammer.
Exactly. Or you can break a window.
Exactly.
Of course, Judge Jacobs wasn't thrilled about these remedies.
Oh, right. The dissenting judge.
Yeah. He thought the injunction and the monitor were overkill.
Okay.
He thought it would stifle Apple's business.
But the majority felt it was necessary.
They wanted to make sure Apple stayed on the straight and narrow.
It's a big takeaway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if your intentions are good, even if you're trying to disrupt a market...
Yeah.
You can't break the law to do it.
You got to play by the rules.
The ends don't justify the means.
Especially in antitrust law.
This case really puts a spotlight on MFNs.
Yeah, most favored nation clauses.
Right, how they can be misused.
They're not bad in themselves.
Right.
But this case showed how they can be used for anti-competitive behavior.
Especially when you've got these powerful companies.
Right. A few big players can really control the market.
So if you're working with contracts in the tech world.
Yeah.
This case is a must read.
Seriously, take notes.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that like one little clause.
Uh-huh.
Can have such huge implications.
Right. And legal consequences.
Yeah. Land you in hot water with the law.
And it's not just about legal technicalities, right?
Right.
This case impacts real people.
How so?
Think about the price of ebooks, the apps you use, the music you stream.
Okay.
These legal battles are happening behind the scenes,
uh-huh.
but they affect what we pay and the choices we have as consumers.
This wasn't just about Apple and Amazon.
Right.
It was about consumers.
It was about making sure the market is fair.
Yeah. Nobody wants to feel like they're getting ripped off.
Exactly, because companies are making backroom deals.
Right. Antitrust law is all about protecting consumers.
From corporate power.
Yeah, making sure everyone's playing by the same rules.
So we have fair prices and a level playing field.
This whole thing makes me think about all those terms and conditions.
Oh, yeah.
We just scroll through and click accept.
I'm reading them.
Maybe you should pay more attention.
Maybe we should... This case shows how important it is to be informed.
Yeah.
Both as businesses and consumers.
Right.
Businesses need to know antitrust law and make sure their practices are compliant.
Or consumers
need to know their rights.
Yeah.
And speak up if they see something shady.
So we've all got a role to play
in keeping the market fair.
But before we get too ahead of ourselves,
right.
We still need to talk about the legacy of this case.
Yeah, and what it means for the tech world today.
Okay, so we've talked about the case, the arguments, the dissent, even the consequences for Apple.
Right.
But like, what does it all mean for us now, like 15 years later?
Yeah, it's still making waves.
Really?
United States v. Apple is still a big deal.
Mm.
I mean, they teach it in law school.
Wow.
People are still debating it in boardrooms.
Interesting.
It set a precedent for how we apply antitrust law in the digital age.
Right, because like the digital world is constantly changing.
Constantly evolving.
Yeah, and pushing those boundaries of how business is done.
For sure. I remember when this case came out.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah. I remember, too. It felt like a wake-up call for the tech industry.
Right. Like, hey, the rules apply to you, too.
Even in this new digital world.
You can't just do whatever you want.
Exactly.
It sent a message to, like, the Apples and Amazons of the world.
Okay.
That you can't break the law to get ahead.
Right.
The days of, like, unchecked dominance and shady deals, those are over.
The Wild West is ending.
Antitrust laws are catching up.
The sheriff's in town.
That's a good way to put it. And this case wasn't just about punishing Apple.
Right.
It was about setting the rules for everyone.
Clarify the playing field.
Exactly. And it really cemented the importance of the per se rule.
Right. That some things are just inherently anti-competitive.
No matter what your intention is.
Price fixing, for example.
Exactly. Now, some people say that rule is too rigid.
especially in the fast-paced digital world.
Yeah. But this case showed it's still a cornerstone of antitrust enforcement.
And of course, we can't forget about those MFNs.
Most favored nation clauses.
Right. This case put them under the microscope.
Showed how they can be used to manipulate the market.
Yeah, one little clause can have huge consequences.
It's a reminder that even if something seems harmless in a contract, it could have big antitrust implications.
So it's not just about ebooks, right?
No, this applies to other markets too.
Like what?
Think about music streaming.
Okay.
App stores, online marketplaces.
Right, all those digital platforms?
Yeah. Are companies using similar tactics there?
That's the question we should all be asking.
And a good one.
Are consumers really benefiting from these new business models?
Or are they paying the price?
Higher costs.
Fewer choices, less innovation.
That's what we need to figure out.
As technology keeps changing.
This case gives us a framework for thinking about those questions.
It's like a roadmap.
Yeah. It reminds us that we need to stay informed.
Engaged and vigilant.
Whether you're a tech CEO.
A lawyer.
Or just a regular person buying stuff online.
Antitrust matters.
We've just scratched the surface today.
We have.
But hopefully this deep dive has gotten you thinking about antitrust law.
And how it impacts all of us.
If you want to learn more.
We've got a link to the full court opinion in the show notes.
Yeah, you should check it out.
It's a good read.
And if this case taught us anything.
What's that?
It's that the digital world is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
And the legal battles are far from over.
Stay tuned.
So stay informed, stay curious.
Keep asking the tough questions.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.